Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and we've actually heard it sung already a couple of times this morning, but I invite you to hear the story from the gospel of Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means among the rulers of Judah, for from are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who was to shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy on entering the house. They saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, one way to know if a Bible story is still a part of the greater social narrative or cultural narrative is if there are jokes on social media referencing the topic. So this year, there were a number of wise men memes that appeared on my Facebook page. And one has been around for a very long time. It's actually on my cup up here. It says, "Wise men still seek him." And, you know, there's always a beautiful picture of wise men silhouetted against the little town of Bethlehem and everything. And so that one showed up a number of times on my Facebook page. And it's not supposed to be a joke. It's supposed to make us stop, I guess, and ponder the meaning of seeking Christ. But then that beautiful thought is countered by the funny memes, an old Far Side that said, little did we know there was actually a fourth wise man who was turned away for bringing a fruitcake. Or then there is the one that reads, "After the wise men left, the wiser women arrived bringing diapers, casseroles, and lots of wine." So we know the story of the wise men is a story that we tell year after year, these men coming from very far away, far to the east, to seek out the one they believed would be the king. They came to see Jesus. They didn't know exactly what they were looking for, or who they were looking for, exactly where they were going, but they came anyway. The story of the three wise men is actually part of the larger nativity story in Matthew's gospel. And Matthew's version of the nativity is what one commentator calls the adult-only nativity story, because it's a much darker and more dangerous story than the one we read from Luke. Truthfully, the story of the wise men has little room for humor. The first section of the story begins very briefly. It's a very brief pericope where the angel visits Joseph and tells him to go ahead and marry Mary. She's carrying the Messiah. Not to put her out, not to shame her, but to go ahead and marry her. And it says they went to Bethlehem, she delivered the baby boy, and all was well. And then we have our story immediately of the wise men coming from the east to visit King Herod and Jesus and then go home. The third part of the story is what is known as the terrible title, The Slaughter of the Innocents. And in that story, King Herod tries to kill his newborn rival by murdering all of the male children under 2 years old. Right in the middle of all of this is the story of the wise men. And an angel appears to Joseph when the plan of Herod is hatched to warn him and his family to flee to safety in Egypt. So you can see why we would call Matthew's version of the nativity story the adult's only nativity. It takes place in a very real world, one that we all know and can see on the news every single day. In Matthew's account, Jesus is born into an unpredictable world with threats and of violence and powers beyond Mary and Joseph's control. In Matthew's world, there is an unjust and unstable king who is afraid, the scripture tells us. And apparently when King Herod was afraid, so was the rest of Jerusalem because he was unpredictable and violent and a little unhinged. This unjust king is concerned with his own welfare and his own power and position. He's willing to lie, to manipulate and murder innocent children to eliminate just one child who could be his rival. In Matthew's world, the religious and the political leaders work together to assure the status quo remains unchallenged. In Matthew's world, people like Jesus's little family must become refugees to escape political persecution in a foreign country. This is definitely not a Hallmark or Courier and Ives image of the Christmas story. Sadly, there are people today who know all too well the world into which Jesus was born, who experience a very similar story in their own lives. Stories of pain and fear and even refugee status. We may know people who have lived it. We may have lived part of that story ourselves. We also understand in our day that national leaders, whether they're hereditary or elected or appointed, are not always worried about true justice and the greater good. We understand that people who are supposed to look after our spiritual and physical welfare may ignore that responsibility to save their own skin or further their own cause. We're shocked still when it happens, but anymore it seems like we shouldn't be. We know life is not fair and it's not just. There seems to be far too many vulnerable people in this world, and often we have no idea how to help them or affect change. So it's no wonder we read Luke's account of the nativity story instead of Matthew's. Shepherds and angels and swaddling clothes and a manger with the stable animals gazing peacefully at him is so much more comfortable and so much more comforting than Matthew's darkness. This world is the world we know, but this world is also the world into which the Christ child was born, into which we are born. And this world is the world God loved enough to be born into, to engage, to become Emmanuel, God with us. It is into this world that we live the gospel and bring the good news of God's love to the world. While this may be the end of Christmas tide, the end of the Christmas season, while some of us may have already packed away our Christmas trimmings, We know that Christmas does not end with the birth of Christ. When the Joseph family gets into its routine, when the shepherds return to their flocks, when the wise men head home and their gifts are put away and treasured for another day, Christmas does not even end with Herod's murderous plots. The holiday we celebrate marks the beginning of a never-ending season of hope, joy, peace, and love. Even in a world like this, it is the beginning of a never-ending season of reconciliation and bridge building, of growth and renewal. Even in a world like this, a world which can seem often overwhelmed by powers beyond our control, by challenges we don't think we can meet, by downright meanness in the world. Even in a world like this, there is good news to share, and there is love to be had and given. In Presbyterians today and in the Christian century, they featured a poem in this season by a theologian and civil rights activist named Howard Thurman. And he was a rather prolific writer. And this is his poem called The Work of Christmas. And it reads like this. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and the princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, then the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among brothers, to make music in the heart. The work which was begun so long ago through the birth of one child continues today as humanity reaches beyond the darkness of selfishness, greed, apathy, and hatred. The work of Christmas is grounded not in fear, but in the hope of God's presence in the world, at work in and through us. The work of Christmas is not grounded in the helplessness of overwhelming powers, but in the strength that comes from knowing how to serve God by serving others. The work of Christmas is not grounded in isolation from others, but in engaging others in love, patience, and grace. The work of Christmas is not grounded in the child. The work of Christmas is grounded in the child who grew in wisdom and stature and strength, who became the one who walked this earth for the sake of the love for the whole world. As we end the Christmas season, as we breathe almost that sigh of relief when all the decorations are packed away and all the lists of things to do are thrown away and our credit card bills are paid and we can put Christmas really to rest. As we end the season of Christmas, the work of Christmas begins. The work of Christmas to enter into the world of Matthew's gospel, in a world that we live in today, in a world that still needs the bright star of God shining to show us the way to the Christ child, to follow that path, to see where it leads us, so that we can give and receive love from God, so that we can share God's love, and then do it again and again and again. We are to walk the path, not just of the wise men, but the path of discipleship, guided by the love of God for the whole world, guided to seek the child, but also the great Messiah who came to redeem us all so long ago. So let us begin the work of Christmas. Let's receive God's love. Let's share God's love. And then let's do it again and again and again. and again. Amen.